Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
We made it, New Orleans, site of Super Bowl 59. Here we are, Perloff's Eagles, Kansas City Chiefs. They both arrived yesterday. We'll get back to the blockbuster Luka Doncic trade to the Lakers in just a moment. But as far as this game is concerned, Pearl, still so much to preview, including who would you rather be in this game? Would you rather be the Chiefs, who are on the brink of history, but with that comes so much pressure, and it would almost feel like a letdown if they don't get the three-peat, even though you can appreciate the Chiefs' greatness? Or would you rather be the Eagles, who little more house money, and you have a chance to stop the Chiefs in their tracks?
Well, the Eagles are not here to stop the Chiefs. They're here to win a Super Bowl. I keep saying there's no heat between the Chiefs and the Eagles. It's funny. After that last win, 38-35 in Glendale, it felt like all the players hugged. There was really no ill will. The Eagles have some teams they don't like, divisional rivals.
Of course.
So I honestly, and I'm very curious, we're going to go to media night tonight. Mm-hmm. And are the Eagles going to have to answer a lot of questions about the three-peat? Because I feel like the Eagles have such a strong vibe of their own. Like, they're not defined by the Chiefs to me, which is, I think, a good thing. I think they're a little oblivious to the three-peat. I think that they think that we're going to do our thing.
Sure.
And that's their kind of narrative.
Well, that would be the talking point. But here's the reality of the situation is that, and I know you are an Eagles fan, so put this aside for a second. This entire Super Bowl is about the three-peat. And it might not be for diehard Philly, but for everyone else. And we've been taking calls about the Chiefs now being the villains. That was not true 2 years ago. Things have changed a little bit. And I'm not saying that Philly is an afterthought here. I just think that this Super Bowl is about Chiefs fatigue, Chiefs going for the three-peat, and the Chiefs are really the star attraction. And here come the Eagles, who are can get to the mountaintop and also take out the Chiefs. Like, a lot of people, I think, are rooting for the Eagles now who would have never rooted for them before. Not because now they've looked and see, wow, Howie Roseman, what a genius. I never thought, Nick Sirianni. They're only rooting really for the Eagles, Perloff, because they want to see new blood. They do not want to see the Chiefs win.
Right. But you're talking about outside people. I think internally the Eagles don't care.
Well, that's fine.
But I'm saying, like, the Eagles, think about this Eagles team. They have Jalen Carter, who's new to the league and doesn't seem to care who anybody is. He's just, I'm going to eat your quarterback. Then you have Saquon Barkley, who's got his own narrative that has nothing to do with the Chiefs, coming over from the Giants. And Jalen Hurts is a robot who doesn't feel any human emotion. So he has no idea what's going on. Like, I just don't think that the Eagles care about the three-peat. I don't even think they're really paying attention to that part of the story. The players. I don't even think they're crazy intimidated by Patrick Mahomes yet. I think with 4 minutes left in the game, it'll creep into their mind. I just think the Eagles, with Sirianni and all this stuff, they're just so used to high-level drama. I don't think the moment is going to be too big for them or anything. I just don't think they really – I don't think they're going to be engaged. I'm curious. Like, they're not – I haven't heard any Eagles players say, I'm desperate to stop the three-peat.
Okay, well, ask them before and then ask them after. Because before, they're not going to say anything that's going to be considered bulletin board material, and everyone's going to be probably pretty milquetoast unless, I don't know, A.J. Brown or someone like that wants to go off script. But I would imagine after the fact – the idea that you would be taking down one of the great teams of all time, I think, weighs in. And you just mentioned the Giants, where Saquon Barkley came from. Look at the Giants, and you mentioned Eli Manning's going to probably get into the Hall of Fame, and it'll be announced this weekend, or Thursday. What's the biggest accomplishment there? What really pushes Eli into the Hall of Fame? It's winning the Super Bowl, but look who they beat. Beating Brady.
Yeah. Well, that's an exception, right?
Beating an undefeated Brady. Well, now you're keeping a three-peat from the Chiefs. I don't know. I think that this is something that would be a motivator if I were the Eagles. And if I'm going into this game and you're asking me, who would I rather be? Would I rather be on the cusp of history or the person to stop history? In a lot of ways, I want to be the one to stop history. I want to be the one who will always be remembered because they kept a team from getting to a site it's never been known before in the NFL, and they didn't do it on my watch. I would like that. I would get some personal gratification off of that.
You say after you won? But wouldn't you want to win a three-peat?
Well, I mean, so you'd rather be the Chiefs than you're saying.
Well, I mean, I think the real, the crux of the question is who's got more pressure, right? Isn't that?
I mean, I don't think it, I know, because I don't know if the Eagles have, would the Eagles have more pressure? I think it's, what do you want to be? Do you want to be the person going for history or trying to stop history?
Well, I mean, all things being equal, of course you want to go for history, right? Wouldn't you rather be the three-peat team?
Well, that's really hard to come by, though. There's only a couple dynasties that have really existed in the NFL.
Let me ask you this question. Coming into the Giants-Patriots 2007 season Super Bowl, if I had said the same question, do you want to be 16-0 going for the undefeated season, or do you want to be the wild card Giants? Who would you have rather wanted to be?
Well, I think people get a lot of, like, they get a lot of juice off of stopping Tom Brady, stopping Randy Moss. Like, they got a gift. They got Randy Moss for, what, a fifth-round pick or something? And, like, now they're breaking records. It's this all-time offense. They're going for undefeated. I think there's a lot of people who would get their kicks off of stopping that.
Hmm. Yeah, but wouldn't you want to go for the undefeated season? I mean, make NFL history? I hear you, but you're saying, like, all things being equal, like, this is, as you said, the Chiefs Super Bowl. They're in this killer position. I mean, I just think it's interesting. I think the Chiefs, when you put it that way, like, there's a lot of history on the line. I think the Chiefs are uniquely designed to not let that get to them. I'm very curious. They've never shown any signs of pressure. So when you word all the history and you talk about the 2007 Patriots, and like, a lot of teams might feel that pressure. I don't think the Chiefs will. And ironically, I don't think the Eagles feel the weight of history either. Like, I'm not sure they're obsessed with stopping the Chiefs. I think they want to dictate the game on their terms.
The one time I felt like I saw the Chiefs really feel pressure was when Kelce bumped Andy Reid on the sideline last year at the Super Bowl. Remember, he was so ticked off at Reid that he physically made contact and almost knocked him over. And he's lucky he didn't knock him over, because that would be played on repeat from now to eternity. But I thought that was them showing that they were feeling the pressure.
I forgot all about that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That got swept under the rug of history because Mahomes couldn't stop.
Because they won. They should thank Kyle Shanahan for that, for kicking the field goal in overtime. EJ, what do you think? Would you rather be the Chiefs going for history or the Eagles being able to stop history?
I think the way I thought about this question to me was interesting, because to me it's the Chiefs going for the three-peat or taking the challenge of trying to stop Patrick Mahomes. And I'll be honest, I think I'd prefer the pressure of the three-peat, because you've been there before, you know what it takes. Like, this, none of this is that surprising or scary or anything for these guys. They lived this. The Eagles, a lot of those guys, as Perloff knows, that was on that team, you know, that won a championship, aren't on this roster. And all they know is Super Bowl disappointment. And now they come into a game where maybe they don't feel pressure, but it's the challenge, the physical challenge, saying Patrick Mahomes will probably have multiple spots in the game where you have to get a stop in order to win. And do you feel comfortable being in that position? The Eagles have the best defense in the NFL, but they're playing with a bunch of young guys. I think I'd rather be the Chiefs, because I'd rather have that experience, rather have those guys who know what it's like. Yes, there's a lot of pressure trying to go for a three-peat, but they're not going to be afraid of going after a championship. They've done that now several years in a row.
Yeah, I'm actually, this makes me nervous, I have to be honest. Like, are the Chiefs, and they've had so many opportunities to fold here. The Bills game, like, normal teams would trip up in one of these games, Megan. I don't mean to make it about your Bills, but normal human beings. But there's something like, Patrick Mahomes is a combination of Lamar Jackson and Eli Manning. He's got Lamar's talent and Eli's ability to not let his blood pressure get to him in a key moment.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Lamar always does that, but like, he's unbelievable. He's the perfect quarterback. He's a combination of every great talented quarterback and every great clutch quarterback ever. And it's just amazing. Like, he's got to trip up at some time. Come on, Maggie.
Well, you're going to have to force it, Pearl. They're not just going to hand it to you.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's why I want to be the Chiefs, because they've just been there, done that. They don't. Nothing gets to them.
855-212-4227. Our pal Jay hanging on in Nashville. Jay, good morning. Would you rather be the Chiefs or the Eagles?
I'd rather be the Eagles because Pearl, the Eagles got a different mentality. It's almost like the same mentality the Giants had when they were going up against the Patriots in that 16-0 season. You can tell it's the Phillies. We don't give a rat. You know what? You know who's in front of us? What's going on? We're not gonna make that same mistake we made last time. And, like, it comes from the quarterback, too. Jalen does have that even keel, not get rattled type of demeanor and everything. But, I mean, I'd rather be the Eagles, seriously.
Yeah.
Jay, what do you think about the Luka trade?
Hey, true story. I was in church yesterday. Sermon was going on, and I looked down at my phone, and it popped up. And I almost lost my cookies in church, like, real loudly. I had to get up and walk to the back and check my phone, man. I thought it was a lie or, like, a hoax or whatever. But what I think about it is I think L.A. will be all right. I heard one caller saying that they're going to have two ball-dominant. No, LeBron is not ball-dominant. He's just ball-dominant when he has to be, but he's one of the greatest facilitators we've been seeing, you know, being so big and everything. So I think they'll be all right with Luka. And Luka is a pure scorer, man. So, you know, the assists and everything that's going to be getting fast from LeBron is going to be all right. As far as Dallas, and remember we talked about this a couple years ago with Anthony Davis. Like, that dude, I mean, he has been hurt lately, but, I mean, that dude, you look at him wrong, he might tear an ACL. You know, you got to deal with that. And he's in his 30s. But I think both teams would be all right. I mean, I think it's one of those things we got to wait and see. We can't really, it's too early to be making speculations of what it's going to be. But one last thing, since y'all in New Orleans, stay away from them marquee restaurants. You got to go to the mom and pop store. Get you some boudin, crawfish boudin, and then you got to get you some crawfish etouffee, not egg touffee. I was walking around when I lived there, I was walking around saying egg touffee. It's really etouffee. Crawfish and souffle. Go to the real deal places, not the marquee places, whatever they advertise.
We are, Jay, thank you for the insight, and we are only going to out of the way mom and pop places. We're not eating at any of the, well, I think we have one fancy one, semi fancy, but that's it. And we are eating crawfish. I couldn't even tell the difference between the two words that Jay was saying. It sounded like he was saying etouffee, etouffee.
No, he was saying egg touffee was how he was saying it.
Oh, egg touffee?
Yeah.
Come on, Jay.
Yeah, I'm like, he's the only one who thought it was egg touffee, to be honest.
Definitely not egg touffee.
Etouffee is one of those foods I feel like I know, but I was like, what is etouffee? And I'm actually looking at it now. I don't really. It's like gumbo?
Yeah, my mom used to make it all the time, and my grandmother. My late grandmother.
Is it good?
It's amazing. Very good.
This is what we have to get a little bit later. Again, we're one po' boy in, and we've got a long, long way to go. We also have to get to something. You're welcome to keep coming with the reaction to the Luka Doncic trade at 855-212-4227. We got an email specifically calling out EJ and Perloff. One of our listeners not happy with both of you. In fact, the word they used to describe both of you guys and the stories that you told was disturbing. So we'll get to that. We should might as well clear the air. That's MaggieandPerloff@gmail.com, where we say thank you to Kevin, who sends us a picture of his breakfast every single morning. Maggie and Perloff, 855-212-4227. Don't move.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff show live from Radio Row in New Orleans. It is a little early here. It's still a bit quiet. I think maybe some people went out on a Sunday night in the Big Easy. Not us, because we have too much NBA trade stuff to break down, Maggie.
I know, really. It takes a lot to kind of throw any haymakers towards the Super Bowl on this week and towards the NFL. But the NBA did just that with the massive Luka Doncic trade. He goes to the Lakers. Anthony Davis comes to the Mavs. And those are just the headliners. Joe Vardon covers the NBA for The Athletic. Close and tight with LeBron James. And Joe, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. There's a couple things that I need to mention. One, the last time I was on the show, Maggie, you were off. And so I was left alone with Andrew. So please don't ever do that again.
It was a major mistake. It will never happen again.
And then the second thing is, if you need tips on how to get into Café Du Monde without waiting in line, I'm your man.
Oh, wow. Okay, we'll tap into that. We would love a tip. It doesn't matter. We'll take whatever you have. Okay, so Joe, we're about 2 days or so. The trade is kind of setting in. What do you think was the biggest reason why the Dallas Mavericks decided to trade away Luka Doncic?
It has to be some kind of personality issue mixed in with the amount of money that they would have to invest in Luka. that's just what it comes down to. There is a stated reason that Nico Harrison, team president, and Jason Kidd, coach, gave yesterday in Cleveland, in which they're talking about how Davis, particularly, and also Max Christie, they said they advanced the culture. I mean, what they were implying is that they were better fits for the culture. And they were saying it's because of defense, but that's not it. There's just something missing there. You know, Luka Doncic is a generational talent. He's 25 years old. On teams that didn't have enough, he got them to the Western Conference Finals 3 seasons ago, and last season, of course, got them into the NBA Finals, and played competitively at times with Boston. So you say, well, by swapping him out for a player who is 7 years older, doesn't do the same things with the ball in his hands, that makes you a better team. That's just hard to buy. So you start thinking about, well, you know, he would be due a $354 million Supermax contract extension as early as this coming summer. The Mavericks had expressed concerns that he wouldn't sign it, which would then lead them into a really crazy season next year. All that may be true, but the NBA still is just not quite set up to walk away from a player of the magnitude of Luka, and yet that's what happened.
Do you think the Mavericks believe they could win a title with Luka, or believe they couldn't win a title with Luka?
That has to be the case, Andrew. That's what's implied here. You know, they got to the finals last year. They didn't have a strong bench. You know, Kyrie shot poorly. As a team, they couldn't hit from three. So they go out and sign Klay, saying that this is the missing piece to surround Luka and, to a lesser extent, Kyrie. So then to make a trade like this for a player like Anthony Davis, who is a 10-time All-Star, and it kind of stinks in a way when we have to talk about this, we make it sound like Davis isn't an exceptional generational talent, because he is. But he's not the same player as Luka. And you see what Luka has done for the organization in his 6 or 7 years, and it's astounding. And so, yes, you have to say that they are implying they felt that they would not win a title with him.
Joe Varden's joining us. He covers the NBA for The Athletic. And, Joe, you know LeBron. You're familiar with his sort of thinking, and you've been covering LeBron going all the way back to the Akron days, so you know this guy. First of all, do you think there's any way he didn't know about this? They said that he was blindsided by this as well. And two, what do you think about the fit between him and Luka?
Well, I would start with the third thing here, which is when I woke up, I mean, I admit I went to bed before this broke. So I woke up to the news about 7 in the morning yesterday. And my first thought actually was LeBron. And in part, it was because of, you know, the relationship and the history that you just mentioned. But we know he's near the end. We know that. You know, he's 40 years old. He's still averaging great numbers across the board, but he is slower. He's not able to be the best player on a championship team anymore. We know that because we've seen what's happened the last couple years. And so then when you get a player like Luka, who ostensibly plays the same position and does the same things that LeBron does, a lot of the same things, I thought about that and thought about, well, does this mean that he has signaled to the Lakers, you know, that he's going to be done, you know, much sooner rather than later? And that may or may not be the case. And, you know, the people around him openly admit that this is something that they're thinking about. No decisions have been made. But then when you get into the fit that you're talking about, you know, he's played with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. He's played with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. And then he's played with Davis, and he's won championships with all of them. And so now there's another generational talent that he gets to play with in Luka. And Luka is probably as good or better than any of those guys mentioned. And Dwayne Wade's in the Hall of Fame. So Luka has a chance to be like that. And so you pair those two together, you know, LeBron can play off the ball. He can play bigger as a 4 or even as a small ball 5 and there to help Luka. And also LeBron could stay on the ball and Luka could play off of it and move and catch and shoot. So, you know, I do think this makes for yet another tantalizing duo offensively in the NBA. And they're going to be worse defensively. I mean, Davis was – one of their probably their best defenders. And what has gotten lost on people, I think, over the last couple of years, as the Lakers' defensive numbers have just been okay, and you have some questions about missed assignments, but Davis often had to make up for LeBron. They would often play a weak defender at the point or the two guard, and then LeBron just doesn't, you know, because he's 40 and he's 38, 39, 40, you know, he doesn't have enough to play as hard at both ends of the ball for 82 games. So, you know, that's where he takes off, you know, on occasion, and Davis was there to cover for him. They don't have that now. So that is going to be a challenge, but I do think it'll be fun to watch these two play.
Do you think there's any more moves coming for either team before the trade deadline?
I do. And you know, I mean, when you think about, let's start with Dallas, and you think about what just happened, and you think about them saying that Davis and Max Christie give them a better chance, they advance the culture. Okay. You're still now, you're just missing somebody who's averaging almost a triple-double, and you've got to find a way to make up for some of that. So what is the move that they can get? Is there, you know, there is one more star available on the market. You know, he makes a lot of money. That'd be hard to do. And then in LA, as we just got done saying, they are now centerless. You know, the Bulls have finally waved the white flag, so to speak. They've traded Zach LaVine. Vucevic should be next. He would fit great with the Lakers. He'd fit great with the Warriors. And so, yeah, I mean, I am certainly watching both teams to see what happens between now and Thursday.
Yeah, and you were implying Jimmy Butler there, maybe for the Mavs, a guy who we know is available, gets paid a lot of money. Joe Vardon joining us, covers the NBA for The Athletic. Last one for me, Joe, and it's, you know, I feel like somewhere in heaven, David Stern is looking down with an approving smile that another superstar fell into the hands of the Los Angeles Lakers. And, you know, for the non-Laker fans out there who are wondering, again, how do they keep getting this pipeline of superstars just keep always coming to LA? And this one via trade, where most people think that the Mavs did not get nearly enough in return. Can you answer the question, why did the Mavs not shop Luka Doncic if they knew they were trading him, this urgency to trade him? You know, Nico Harrison said this came together in a couple weeks. That's not that much time.
So these are hard questions for me to answer, because then it becomes as though, like, the reason I give is what I believe to be the correct. Like they, you know, this is why they did it, and I agree with it. And that's not necessarily the case, but, you know, Nico and Rob Pelinka have been talking exclusively for a couple of weeks. There is a high amount of trust there that goes back to when Nico worked for Nike and Kobe Bryant was represented by Rob Pelinka, the agent. This was way before Rob ever took over with the Lakers. So they go back a really long time. That's the first thing. And then if we are to believe this, you know, the Mavericks were focused on Anthony Davis. That's who they wanted. When you have Luka and you're putting him out on the trade market, like, could you get Giannis? I don't know. I mean, did you ask? I mean, like, you... With this
no,
kind of player who's 25 years old, you know, like, you, there's probably no limit as to what you might be able to get. So, you know, right now we have to take it at face value that they targeted Davis. That's who they wanted. They think that we are all not high enough on Max Christie. I guess that remains to be seen. So, you know, the NBA world and the sports world, it's up for you guys to decide if that is a valid reason. But they have made it really clear that they wanted Anthony Davis, and now they have him.
All right, Joe, one word answer here. Who comes out of the West at the end of the season? I'm going to hold you to it.
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm going to say Oklahoma City. I think that they are more physical than they were last year. I know that's a cliche, but I think Shea will do better with contact. And I love Jalen Williams, and they're doing all this without Chet. So Chet comes back healthy, gives them the rim protection that they don't have. They're not a great three-point shooting team, but things are slower in the playoffs anyway. So I'm going to say Oklahoma City in a very competitive bracket over there.
That's the hilarious part, right? They make this big blockbuster trade, Lakers and Mavericks, but we don't really think either of them are going to be going to the NBA Finals this year. Joe Varden covers the NBA for The Athletic. Thank you for the time, Joe. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate you. Let's turn our attention to Andrew Bogish now, who's got all the latest with headlines. Hey, Bogues.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you one more time this morning. And it wasn't just you three arriving in New Orleans yesterday. The Chiefs and Eagles are now in town as well, and one can only imagine the farting on those planes with all those linemen. The Raiders reportedly hiring Chip Kelly to run Pete Carroll's offense, and Kelly may be making $6 million annually, which would make him the highest paid coordinator in the league. Kelly's been in college since going one and done as Niners head coach in 2016. Fresh off trading Luka last night, the Mavericks played in Cleveland without Anthony Davis and five of their remaining regulars, including Kyrie. They allowed 50 points in the first quarter, 91 in the first half, and they lost to the Cavs 144-101. Back in Dallas, fans are taking the news really well.
They could win every game the rest of the season and win the championship, and it wouldn't really matter because all of the emotional value and in that journey just got sucked away. But it feels like someone close to you died in a way, and there's lots of anger for sure.
Feels like somebody died.
Did you see they brought a casket to the arena?
I didn't see that, but I heard Amy Lawrence had a guest overnight who said, like, jokingly but seriously, there's like a memorial outside the arena as if something horrible had happened to Luka, like that he had died. I mean, it's a little overdramatic.
Yikes. What else we got?
Well, we've yet to hear from Sacramento, San Antonio, or Chicago after their big trade yesterday. The Kings sending De'Aaron Fox to the Spurs while getting back Zach LaVine and three first-round picks. The Bulls end up with three players and a first-rounder. Back on the court last night, the Celtics turned a 26-point third-quarter hole into a 118-110 win in Philly. 35 points for Jason Tatum. No Ja Morant again, but the Grizzlies still won in Milwaukee, 132-119. They've now won seven straight meetings with the Bucks, and the Raptors are hot, winners of 8 of 10 after topping the Clippers 115-108. WNBA free agency, Tina Charles, number two all-time in points, first in rebounds, returning to Connecticut, where she began her career and won the 2012 MVP. And the Fever signing all-timer Dewana Bonner as support for Caitlin Clark, who had her number 22 retired at Iowa yesterday. South Carolina did the same thing for Asia Wilson's number 22 as well. The Detroit Tigers are bringing back starter Jack Flaherty, 2 years, $35 million, according to reports. There's an opt-out next offseason. If he stays, Flaherty could make from $10 to $20 million in that second year if he was to make 15 starts this season. And from the NHL, the Red Wings' surge continues.
DeBrincat over the Vancouver line. Pass now to Raymond. Back to DeBrincat. He scores! Six in a row for the Red Wings. They are now officially in the playoffs.
Well, they're officially in playoff position atop the wild card standings after this 3-2 win in OT in Vancouver. The highlight from Ken Cal on Wings Radio. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks so much. We will take a quick timeout. We're back with more on the Luka trade and also the road to Super Bowl 59. It's Maggie and Perloff live from New Orleans. More next. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, live from New Orleans, Radio Row. And man, we've got so much football to get to, but the NBA kind of swooped in with this blockbuster trade that nobody saw coming. And you know what's funny about this Luka thing? And we've been talking about the trade all morning, Luka going to the Lakers, and now Anthony Davis goes to the Mavs, is just the stunning nature of the trade. I think the NBA has the ability to do this almost more than any other sport.
How so?
Because trades of this magnitude don't really happen in the NFL.
No, the NFL is not a trade league. I mean, they've been more than ever.
Lately, more than ever. Russell Wilson going to Denver and Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets. But, like, you know, we usually get a bit of a heads up on this kind of thing. I guess the Russ one was a little bit of a surprise. But
well, yeah, but if we ever had an NBA trade like this where there was no heads up, the player was disgruntled in any way, usually there's totally a heads up.
Yeah, but I don't even think the player was disgruntled. I really don't. I really do believe that this came from the team side, that they just didn't trust Luka to give him $354 million or didn't want to or thought it wasn't going to bring them a title or all these things and just said, you know what? It's like someone getting up early from the blackjack table, just like, I'm out. I don't even want to stick around for this. I'm walking away.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me, too. You look at the standings, there's a really good chance both teams, well, the Mavs look like they're going to be a play-in team. Like, this might not...
Yeah, their odds didn't get better.
This might not do much. Well, of course, they just lost Luka Doncic.
I know, but they got Anthony Davis. Like, this is who they wanted. This is right. What they thought was going to pay out in the short term.
Yeah, no, I know, but we all know they just gave up Luka Doncic. So the funny thing is, like, it might not amount to anything in the playoffs. It might just be that. That's a weird thing about it. It feels like an all-time NBA trade. But to be an all-time NBA trade, it has to result in a title for one of these two teams. And honestly, I definitely don't see the path for the Mavs. The Mavs are really walking a fine line because their players are so old. I just don't see the path for the Lakers yet. I think that's a yet, right? Like, would you like to see them make one more move, bring in a little bit of size?
Yeah, I think they probably will, but are they winning this year? Maybe. Maybe Luka is so ticked off that he got traded and he's taking it so personally, but I think that he was already a great player, and this is not someone I would have given up on if I were Dallas. That's me.
Well, ticked off.
He would ticked off now because
is Luka the kind of player who can, like, carry a team like that?
Well, so Giannis had some quotes about this yesterday, yeah, that about just how fragile things are in the NBA, and, you know, you can be an all-NBA player and you could think that you have all the security and you really just don't. Mm. And I think this is like a one-off. I don't really think this is going to become the norm. This is not the way that people do business, generally in the NBA. Mm. Actually, the last time I feel like I saw something like this was when the Knicks, EJ, called the Mavericks about Kristaps Porzingis. And basically just said, hey, do you want him? And they didn't try to shop him or anything, and they got him out of town. And to be honest, I think that was a mistake by the Knicks.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing. I mean, it worked out kind of fine because they got some pretty good players out of there, and Kristaps didn't do anything in Dallas. But that was what this reminded me of. And my dad texted me, he's a big Knicks fan, texted me the same thing. He's like, EJ, I feel like this is your scenario deja vu from years ago when you said, why didn't the Knicks call around the league to chop Kristaps Porzingis? Same thing with Dallas, but this is on a much bigger scale.
Oh, definitely.
Like, Luka Doncic, we were talking about top five. I mean, he's arguably a top three, top two caliber player. So I don't get it. It just does not compute to me.
Yeah, and you can call us at 855-212-4227. Nadal is in Dallas. Nadal, is everyone working through this?
Hey, good morning. Well, you know, I don't know how to explain it. It's like God just turned on a Hoover vacuum and just sucked the air out of Dallas. You know, it is unbelievable. And yes, it is true. There was a casket in front of American Airlines Center. There was jerseys, flowers. It was a memorial service. It's crazy. As you may remember, I'm not a native of Dallas. I moved here about 3.5 years ago from Kansas City, but I was a huge Luka fan, and I became a Mavs fan last year. Took both my sons, Kareem and Omar, to about 5 or 6 games since we moved here. We love Luka, and we named one of our cats after him. He's a god here, okay? I mean, plain and simple. I just read the headline, the newspaper here at the gas station, you know, Luka is ours. You know, and people are shocked, dumbfounded. There's no logical explanation for it. You know, this whole conditioning excuse and whatever, it just does not make sense. I mean, he still produced. I get his conditioning. I get that,
yeah,
right? But it doesn't make sense, you know?
No, Nadal, and you've seen teams that will, you know, they'll pay players coming off of serious injuries. They'll,
right,
you know, stick with players through thick and thin. And it,
right,
felt like, yeah, for the conditioning, and maybe no one even said attitude. It's just, I think the conditioning, that's really what scared them off. And yet they made a trade for a guy who, when healthy, is awesome, but is 7 years older and has his own injury issues. Right. So it's like, were you,
right,
really that worried about the consistent effort? Or not that Anthony Davis doesn't give effort, but the consistent,
listen,
availability?
You're exactly right. So to sum it up, I mean, if you want to break it down and dumb it down, Jason Kidd is dumbfounded. Luke is dumbfounded. All the players, all the stars, like you mentioned, KD on the bench of last night's game was dumbfounded. Patrick Mahomes sent a tweet. You know, all these, all these players. Everybody's just, it does not make sense. We're missing something here. Something is going on that nobody knows about. Hopefully you guys, with all your resources as sports media celebrities and all your resources and all the reporters out there, somebody's got to dig something up, because something is going on between Luka and this this GM, Nico, or maybe the owner. I don't know. Listen, look, Mark Cuban, if he was when back when he was still majority owner, he was asked, you know, if it comes down to it, is it going to be your wife or Luka?
Yeah.
And he flat out said, I'm sure he was joking, but he flat out said, look, you might as well come down to the courthouse and be a witness to my divorce.
I know.
You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm sure he was joking, and he had to, you know, buy his wife some major jewelry. But the point of it is you just don't get rid of a guy like that, at 25 especially. You're getting AD at what, 30, 31. You have Kyrie in Dallas at 32. And then, you know, Clay, who's averaging 13 points a game at 34. Like, it does not make sense. It's just,
We're all dumbfounded, and thank you so much for the call and for telling us the vibe in Dallas right now. And I think understandably, it's a sad one because you put all your faith and hope and a guy actually gets to the finals, and you're thinking he might be ahead of schedule. See, that's the thing with Luka. Some people think he's ahead of schedule, and some people think that we've already seen the best of him.
Right.
Like, who's going to end up being right here? I don't know, but I would have bet on that we haven't even seen the best of him yet. And because
that's just, what makes you say that?
Well, that I feel like that's the trend generally with the NBA. Like, look at the Celtics with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Like, it took a minute. It took some heartbreak. It took some failure. And then finally they broke through. I don't know why we would have thought it would have been any different for Luka. But that.
I don't know.
Me.
It's just it's not just a fitness, it's a style play, too, right? I mean, like, it just feels like. I could see a lot of NBA teams be like, nah, we're good with that. Like, does the ball ever move in Dallas? Do you know where the ball is on every single play? It's in Luka's hands.
Right.
So, and just again, show me, name
but
the
who's
one.
Who's stopping him? Like, even if it's in his hands.
I went over a conversation. Name one player who's had the style play of Luka who's ever won a title.
Well, but is this person in this style of play kind of pretty new? Like, how far back are we going with guys who have played this particular way? Unless you want to go back to like the World Be Freeze and stuff, or the Bernard Kings
to high usage like scorer guys, like forever.
Okay, but
averaging almost a triple double.
I mean,
6'8". He's kind of a unicorn.
Name a player who plays like him that's won a title. Just joke. I went over.
I feel like
Kawhi's close. Jokic, Kobe. Jordan, LeBron, they're all different than Luka.
But think about the caliber, though. Like, you're saying people like that are not like Luka?
Luka's not does not play basketball like those guys. He plays like James Harden, Russell Westbrook. He plays like those guys.
Okay, but
he's
already...
those guys, like, pass the ball, move, pass the ball, move. Like, Luka is very, very ball dominant. You know who's a little like Luka? EJ Shea plays a little like Luka. I'm very curious, does he get over the top or does he change his style a little bit?
So the one thing about those guys, and I know it's like bad now to say, like, Harden and Westbrook and these guys, it's like this biggest diss that you can possibly give somebody is that they play like them. But to be honest, like, Luka had already, besides Westbrook, who got to the finals with Kevin Durant and James Harden, and who was not the 1A, Luka did get to a finals playing that way. So it's not like they kept flaming out and flaming out. Like, is he carrying teams that would never have gone to the finals and getting them to the finals? James Harden couldn't get to the finals when he's playing with Westbrook or Chris Paul. He had these other big stars around him. I mean, Luka's getting to the finals with Gafford and... Lively and, you know, and Kyrie, Kyrie, but Kyrie, we weren't really sure what Kyrie was going to be. His stock was in the toilet when they traded for him.
But there's also the reality, though, of like when we say, oh, look at what Harden and Westbrook did. Well, I mean, Harden lost to the Warriors. Okay, so it's not like he was...
In game seven, by the way.
Right, yeah, and I'm not saying he didn't play well, but like, it's not like he had a better team and he
blew it.
Came up short and they lost some upstart team that... He lost to a dynasty. You know, Russell Westbrook had no players really around him. So we can compare those guys and say, okay, yes, he plays like those guys, but what if you built a team around Luka Doncic better than those Rockets teams or better than those Thunder teams?
But Luka makes everyone around him worse. That's the problem.
I totally disagree with that.
PJ
Washington went to Dallas last year, and he was one of the best players in the playoffs. He was in Charlotte. His career was mired in mediocrity. He was a bust.
Again, then how come like a player like this hasn't won the title? Because first of all, you need a defensive player. Like, you need Kawhi. That's what wins the title at the end of the day.
Right, but I mean, at the same time, I look at that Dallas Maverick team, and I don't know how is Derek Lively scoring without Luka Doncic's offense? How is PJ Washington scoring without Luka Doncic passing the ball?
Like, find a way.
These guys, they're not creators. Now, maybe you could argue that you can't build a team the way you want to build a team to win a title. But I'm saying the guys that they've brought in, all those guys, their numbers have went up playing with Luka Doncic. The plus-minus numbers are obvious.
Well, I think
so. I don't know how they adjust now that you don't have that hub of an offense with these players unless they really revamp the team around Kyrie and AD.
Kyrie's
a ball dominant guard.
He's like ball he's the kind of guy, small.
And he's smaller. And he's about assists. He's way lower than Luka Doncic.
Yeah, I also they might add a shot creator, right? Because they definitely they've built around Luka, so nobody dribbles and makes a move anymore here in Dallas.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just look at like the great championship players. Like Luka doesn't fit squarely into that list with me. I mean, I'm thinking like, listen, I was going high end players.
Well,
like,
he is high end.
Well, yeah, but not like Kobe Jordan.
Well, not Kobe Jordan, but at this moment, he's one of the best players in the NBA.
But he's not a guy who's so guaranteed. Like, there's no way Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant were not winning titles. Like, he's not that's the upper echelon. I don't think he's there. Unless if you guys think he's like in top five players of all time.
I mean, his numbers, the numbers.
To Kobe Bryant, to Michael Jordan?
Nobody has done the points, rebounds, assists that he's done except for LeBron James in their first few years and Nikola Jokic, champions. And one thing I want to mention, too, real quick, is I wonder if we're in an era where we kind of say it's kind of like the football, honestly, before Mahomes, where it's like, well, we see these guys just get their ring. Because, like, you got Jason Tatum last year, who he said could never win a ring. Then he won. Yeah, then Jokic could never win a ring. Then he won.
Yeah.
Then Giannis. Steph Curry, he'll never win a ring without Kevin Durant again.
Mm-hmm.
He won. Giannis, he'll never win a ring. He can't shoot free throws. He can't shoot. Doesn't have a bag. He won. Like, we're not in a Patrick Mahomes era of the NBA where there's some team or some guy laying around, like Jordan, being like, nobody's getting theirs. Right. Like, is it maybe a time where he just finds a way to get one at some point?
Yeah.
So you guys think the Lakers are winning when?
I don't know.
I mean, it's the Lakers, so like the odds are probably at some point they always win. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but
I just wonder if they're still going to win with Luka and LeBron. Like, you know, when this trade first happened, my first thought was LeBron. He thinks that he can win a title with Luka. Then you get more into it, and it's like, well, the Mavs actually called them. They served up a superstar on a silver platter. You have to take it. And I was thinking, like, man, did they do this with LeBron in mind? I always thought everything the Lakers did with was with LeBron in mind. Now I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure because I wouldn't have automatically put these two together. But to be fair, the Lakers had, you know, probably wanted to do something. They've been with a version of this team, and they haven't been a playoff team.
I wish I would
barely.
I wish I would ask this early in the show because I've really been thinking about this a lot. Do you guys think there's not that they will do it? I feel like they really should be working to shop LeBron James. Like, because to me, like,
he's got a no trade clause.
Right. But if you tell him, look, you're not in our future plans, right? Like, we're not going to win a title probably with this team constituted. Like, let's get you to another piece. Let's say if you could send him to a team that has the kind of players you think you would need to fit around Luka Doncic, wouldn't LeBron James get you a massive haul? You could do the opposite of what Dallas just did.
I know.
And shop him around. Okay. And see where LeBron
40-year-old LeBron would get a massive haul?
Yeah.
For a team that's trying to win a title? Like, if you were Houston, would you not trade for LeBron James if you're the Knicks? Would you not trade for LeBron? These teams
Warriors?
That are, like, right outside the cusp? I think you have to consider it.
Hold, the only thing is, though, is I think LeBron has not been totally honest about how much longer he wants to play.
Right.
So that's kind of a tough spot. It's like, do I get this guy for a year, for two? It's a little like Aaron Rodgers a little bit, like with your Jets, you know? Do I have to tailor everything now around him? Do I have different coaches? Are we a clutch team now? Does Bronny have to come?
Yeah.
Must we find a spot for Bronny? Wow. Okay, well, this was a great show. We're off to a great start here in New Orleans for the week of the Super Bowl. Thank you to EJ Stewart, Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, and Andrew Kaplan back at the shop. Justin Tucker and Bobby Dotson. Justin Tucker, this is unfortunate. He's our engineer, one of them. One of these brilliant engineers who get to work with us. Name happens to be Justin Tucker. Not the football guy who turned out to be a major creep, allegedly. Just a guy doing his job, doing it well. Thank you to Dave Marinick, of course. You guys on the phones, Joe Varden, who joined us from The Athletic. We're back tomorrow from Radio Row. We'll see you there.
You're in a 5-minute break. Four minutes, 30 seconds remaining. Four minutes remaining.